Until Parshat Shemini, the book of Vayikra had been a book which told us many, many details about offerings, about korbanot. It told us about getting the kohanim ready in order for the day that the Beit HaMikdash, or the way it was called in those days, the Mishkan, would be operational. And suddenly, and perhaps we don't even notice it as it takes place, the book turns to narrative. Instead of telling us laws and details, a story is told. And that story is this incredible day when the Mishkan is really going to start. And we're told about the various offerings which need to be brought. And then sometimes we get lost and we don't pay attention. The details are quite important. Aaron is told to bring a sin offering. The sin offering is going to be a calf. And all of us, once we start to think about it, understand exactly, precisely, why a calf is significant. The sin which Aaron was involved with, albeit perhaps he didn't have a choice, was the sin of the golden calf. The calf would be his sin offering. The children of Israel, on the other hand, they're going to bring a different offering. Their sin offering is going to be a goat. When we think back at Jewish history, there was a sin which was committed by the Jewish people, which involved a goat. And perhaps we didn't pay attention to that either, because a goat was not the major character within that particular sin. Rather, it was the sale of Yosef. When Yosef came that day to see his brothers, they plotted his murder before he even arrived. And eventually, when they did sell him, they needed to come up with some kind of explanation to their father as to what happened. Even though perhaps they should have just played dumb completely, what Yosef? Yosef never arrived. Instead, they send their father the coat which really was the object of their hatred, the coat of many colors, and they dipped it in blood. But which animal did they use when they dipped it in blood? The answer is they used a goat. Therefore, a goat becomes the symbol of that particular sin. When Yaakov receives the goat full of blood, he cries and he mourns for his son. We need to pay attention, because the Jews at this point in history have left Egypt and they're on the way to the land of Israel. But how did we get to Egypt? So on the one hand, we can say we got to Egypt because God had made a covenant with Abraham that his descendants would be slaves. But if we read carefully that covenant, it never said anything about Egypt. The reason we got to Egypt was because the brothers had sold Yosef and he was taken to Egypt. There's something over here which, if one is religious, one can call hashgacha, where God is micromanaging. If one isn't religious, you can call it karma. But the brothers thought they would get rid of their brother Yosef and sell him off as a slave. Of course, they all ended up becoming slaves. And after they followed their own brother down, the entire people became enslaved. Now that we've left Egypt, now that we've been redeemed, Aaron, as we said, was asked to bring, for his sin, a calf. The children of Israel are asked to bring, for their sin, a goat. We understand the significance. But another offering was brought, and that was an olah. An olah is something which goes completely up into heaven. The olah which is offered is a ram. And if we pay attention again into history, we'll notice that this is not the first day where the temple was consecrated. I know that sounds strange, because this is it. The Mishkan begins here. But years before, Avram himself was told to take something and place it on the altar. And it's quite horrifying to imagine it, but the thing he was told to bring was actually his own son. And he placed his son on the altar. And we don't know what Avram was thinking. We don't know what he experienced. But I will point out, on a midrashic level, the rabbis tell us that years before this, Avram's own father took Avram and gave him over to Nimrod, and Avram was thrown into the furnace. Miraculously, Avram was saved, and he left unscathed. Perhaps experientially, Avram had some kind of sense that his son as well would be saved. And as he places him on the altar, an angel comes and tells him that no offering, no human sacrifice would be asked for. But rather, he looks off afar, and he sees a ram, and a ram then takes the place of his son. Perhaps this is not just a coincidence, this is something which is very significant. In order for the sacrifices of the korbanot to be meaningful, there needs to be some kind of a relationship between the animal and the person. The way the place of the Beit HaMikdash, and remember, Akedat Yitzchak took place on Har HaMoriah. The way this takes place is Yitzchak was placed on the altar, and then he was replaced by the animal. This then will tell us that in the future, even when we make mistakes, there can be some kind of a transference taking place where the animals will take our place. And therefore, there's no need for Yitzchak to become an olah. Rather, the animal can take the place. As we continue the story, though, we note something which is incredible. The sons of Aaron go and offer incense. And they weren't commanded to do this. And the question then becomes dramatic. Will God accept something which he was not asked for? And what happens is, instead of taking the incense, a fire comes down, and God accepts the two of them as an offering. And this is chilling. This is frightening. But it seems to be that in order for the Mishkan to be operational, the same type of transference needs to take place. And while Yitzchak was offered as an olah, and then he was taken down, and the ram was taken in his place, the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, they themselves were taken. And Moshe, who's not one to mince words and not one to sugarcoat things, tells Aaron that he always suspected that somebody would die on that day. And he tells Aaron he thought it would either be me or you. And now I realized how holy Nadav and Avihu were, because they became a korban olah. I know that there are many, many explanations which are offered as to what they did wrong. What I'm suggesting is perhaps they didn't do anything wrong. They were just showing by their actions or by the result of heaven how serious the place of the Mishkan was, how things work, how offerings, how animals can take the places of people, and how God can somehow give us forgiveness. But in order for that to happen, people needed to realize the severity and the seriousness of the offerings. On that day and that day only, God took the offerings of Nadav and Avihu themselves. The fire came down from heaven and swallowed them. And from that point on, God accepted animals instead of people.